Beloved friends, about 60 years ago, a man left his house in the Netherlands, got on a boat, crossed the Atlantic Ocean, docked in Halifax, took the train to Toronto, went to work. Left behind a wife, children, the home that they had shared that used to be vibrant, it's quieter, but more stressed. The family that used to be confident was uncertain, fearful. The house that used to be carefully maintained grew weeds that were never there before. Why did he leave? Why not stay there? Why not keep the confidence? Why not maintain what was? The desire to be together was there. That's not what took place. There's a spiritual lesson in this. It's a spiritual lesson that John 13 has already, in a sense, laid out the context of, because Jesus is preparing the disciples that he too is going to go somewhere. And Peter asked the question, Lord, where are you going to go? And Jesus' reply is, where I go, you cannot follow me. And Peter doesn't understand it, and he asks a question, Lord, why not? If God's children want to follow him, why can they not always be in his presence, in a sense? We think of it today. Maybe we think of it this way. Why didn't Jesus remain on earth throughout history so that his church would be guided by the head of the church? Why didn't Jesus remain on earth to keep it from stress? Why didn't he remain here to help us, to keep us from harm? Why did he leave? And seemingly let the weeds grow in. Theologically, we know that Christ did not leave. As man, Christ is no longer on the earth, but as God, he is always present. And because his Godhead is always and everywhere present, he is still here. But then, maybe the question becomes, why did his human nature have to leave? That's what we want to focus on this afternoon through the words of John 14, verse 2, just the last phrase. I go to prepare a place for you. We'll see first the pledge that Jesus is making to troubled hearts. Because Peter is asking the question in chapter 13, but Peter's not the only troubled heart here. He's certainly the verbal one. He's certainly the one asking the question. But you see, as we read through John 14, the other disciples are asking questions as well. Thomas asks a question. Philip makes a request. Judas asks a question. All of the disciples were perplexed. They were anxious, troubled. And in a sense, it's understandable because Jesus had just told them he's going to be betrayed. He's told them, you can't go where I'm going. And we understand then the disciples with their troubled hearts, but we still, in a sense, cringe for them. Because we know more trouble is going to come at them even after Jesus says these things. They're going to flee, they're going to deny him, they're going to miss him, they're going to doubt him. They're going to see him hanging on the cross. They're going to see an empty tomb and ask, where is he? The troubles are real in their hearts, in their lives. What we need to realize tonight is why they were troubled. They were troubled because they loved the Lord. They didn't understand everything he meant, but when he said he was going to go away, That's not what they wanted. They wanted to be with him. And that's why as we open chapter 14 this afternoon, the opening words of chapter 14 as we have it is actually an admonition. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. You see, Jesus is taking these disciples who are worried and who are troubled, and he's telling them, don't be troubled. And then he lifts his eyes, or he lifts their eyes up, as it were. Don't just look at the here and now, but look up. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But then he gives these troubled hearts a pledge, and that's the focus of our meditation this evening, is I go to prepare a place for you. A pledge is a commitment to do something. And Christ makes this pledge to his disciples. I go to do this for you. This is why I need to go. This is why you can't come with me. But this is why you can't be troubled. You need to believe in me, because I'm going to go and do this for you. And where is Christ going? He says, I go. He's going to his Father's house. Some people think this just refers to the temple. Christ is going to go to the temple. Others see it as the presence of deity in the people, in the sense that the saints are the temple of God. But in the context of this discourse and in this chapter, it certainly is referring to heaven. Not so much the physical structure, but the place where God dwells. And then the place where God dwells, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. We often think of mansions as extravagant, large, luxurious homes. We have no idea how grand heaven will be. But it's not going to be about the material things. And in a sense, mansions is an unfortunate translation. It's actually translated from the Latin rather than from the Greek. And in the original, the word is a rare word for a place to stay. And you see, as Jesus is lifting the disciples' eyes up, and he's saying, where God dwells, there's many places to stay. Let not your heart be troubled. And that's actually a glorious thought. Because it's not about the physical structure. It's not about a luxurious home. It's more than that. Homes can crumble and decay. But you see, in the place where God dwells, where there's many places to stay, there will be no erosion, there will be no water damage. It's an eternal place. Permanent place. It's an indestructible place. And in a sense, that's why the word mansion is used. It's not because of its luxury, but here is a dwelling place that's going to exist. It's going to last forever. And then, put that back into the context. In my Father's house, there are many eternal places to be. God promised Abraham seed as large as the number of stars. The sand on the seashore. You see, in my Father's house, there are many places of living, of abode. It's not just a temporary suite. No, this is a permanent for each one, and it's prepared for them, and it will be. As prophesied by Ezekiel, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Christ is saying, I'm going to prepare this eternal place, to make it ready. It already exists. But He's going to make it ready so that you, dear believer, can be with Him there. We understand how homes and places of rest are made ready before people move into them. There's a process of preparation. And Christ's pledge to the disciples then is, even as they're troubled about Him leaving, He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. And what's the preparation that Christ needs to fulfill? Well, when He says, I go, He's actually using a very particular word. It's an idea of passage. He's going to pass from one place to the next, and He's going to go through all these steps. And that's His guarantee, actually. When Jesus says, I go, He's pledging something about the future. The disciples are worried. They don't know where He's going. But He says, I go. I'm going to take these steps. And He's telling them what's coming. It means more than just leaving. I go doesn't mean that He's just leaving. I go is including a whole realm of meaning that they're only going to begin to understand. But it's also guaranteeing what He's doing. We do the same when we say, I'll go get ready. You mean you're going to go and get ready, but you also mean you're going to come back ready. And you see, Jesus is doing the same. This man who left Holland, as he says to his family, I'm going to go to Canada. He's not fleeing from them. He's not just leaving. No, he's going to go and buy a ticket for the ship that he can share with them. This is my proof. I'm going to go and I'm going to work. But you see, all of this too is with the intention that his family can come and be with him. In a greater way, when Christ tells his disciples, I go, he's preparing them for these next days and steps of his life. Because, think about what Jesus does. He goes to the garden where he would be betrayed. He goes before the high priests to face questions about his disciples and his doctrine. He goes in front of Pilate to bear witness of the truth. He goes before the people who cry out, crucify him. And he goes down the path, bearing his cross to the place of a skull. And it's in this light that Jesus tells his disciples, where I go, you cannot come. But then, remember, he comes from the tomb. You could say he goes from the tomb. And he goes to troubled hearts then too. In John 20, he says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. He goes into the upper room where these troubled disciples are and he says, peace be to you. But where, in a sense, it comes to a climax is in his ascension. His going includes his ascension. We believe that Jesus Christ was taken up from earth into heaven in sight of these same disciples. Do you see those disciples standing there that day, gazing up into heaven, seeing Christ go up? Here's visual proof of what he had just told them in John 14. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then they see him go. Luke, when he's writing Acts 1, uses this same term. While they look steadfastly towards heaven, as he was going, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. What did they say? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. He goes to pave the way, to prepare a place. And it's as if he's telling his disciples even before it happens, as you see my trial, as you see my death, as you see my crucifixion, as you see the empty tomb, as you see me ascending into heaven, this is your guarantee, your proof that what I've told you is true, and I'm going for you. And I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. The passage of death, the passage of the tomb, the passage of resurrection, the passage of ascension should be a reminder to you, your guarantee, your promise, visual promise, that you can be certain I am going to prepare that place. You see, it's only Christ going that can make the way to the Father. The only way you can come to the Father today is through this Christ who has gone before. You can't go and arrange this yourself. You can't go and guarantee a place in heaven yourself. It's Jesus who comes and says, I'm going to prepare a place. We have knowledge today of this guarantee that the disciples never had. We have the collected evidence, Scripture, confirmed by the Spirit. The disciples were listening to Jesus that afternoon, and they are called to the same response as we are: faith. Faith in this Christ who says he's going. Faith in his word as he promises. This is what he's doing. Faith in his promise. As he says this, it's for you. It's only those then who are clinging by faith to Christ and his merits that can take this word, this promise for themselves. I go to prepare a place for you. What about those who are struggling, though, this afternoon? Is there a place for them? In a sense, this passage comes, and it comes with admonition. Because you imagine the disciples are struggling, and they're struggling with the fact of, how am I going to live if Jesus is not here? But that's often our struggle. We struggle because we've never seen with our eyes. We've never seen the place he's preparing. But will we live by faith or will we live by sight? Sometimes the struggle is I don't feel. And the pledge seems impossible. There's nothing in me that merits a place. But are we going to live by emotion? Or are we going to live by faith? God calls us to believe the invisible. Today we have so much technology, there's not much in our world that still seems invisible. But just imagine 60 years ago, no Skype. No international calls. Sailing across an ocean. Alone. You'd have to trust that all was well with your family. Or when the date came for you to cross the ocean. You've never seen this country. Yes, you've heard about it, but you've never seen it. You've never seen the port. You've never seen the train. You've never seen the work of place. You've never seen the home that they say is there for you to live in. Or that your husband or father has gone to that place that he said he's going, and that he's there, and that he's preparing that for you. You would have to trust what you could not see. Faith in the person who's written maybe you a letter and said, yes, this is true, this is happening, this is where I am, this is ready for you. And then you would have hope in the future and you'd still go. Because the letters that come back describe to you the benefits. You see, even for the immigrants who came to Canada, this separation was only temporary. And the benefits far outweighed the temporary separation. They make the separation worthwhile. And again, it's in a far greater way that Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm going. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. And this time of separation is worthwhile. Instead of feeling that Christ would be leaving and their hearts would be even more troubled, more anxious, he tells them later in the chapter they should rejoice. He's accomplished what they cannot accomplish. He's guaranteed what they can only dream of. He's come with clear teaching that they don't need to prepare this place for themselves. And the benefits are going to be theirs, and the benefits are going to be laid before them. Will they believe? What are these benefits? Well, the first advantage is that Christ is our advocate. He's gone, as it were, to the Father to be the advocate in the presence of the Father. And so that even as their troubled hearts condemn them, even as Christ's words condemn them, they will have an advocate with the Father, someone representing them who can maintain the way to the Father. As John says in 1 John 2, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. John 14 has illustrated this connection already. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Verse 12 and 13, I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give. Verse 21, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And you see, as Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you in front of the Father. Here we have our high priest, able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. There's no repentant sinner that Jesus will not be an advocate for. All those with faith will be represented before the Father. He's promised, I go to prepare that place for you. Second benefit of Christ going as flesh into heaven is that flesh is in heaven. And as he says, he will return to take up to himself us. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I go to prepare a place for you so that I can take you to myself. And together we can sit in heavenly places. Christ's physical body ascended into heaven and is there now so that you, dear believer, would look for him to return. And to realize that one day, yes, heaven will include flesh. But if you believe, you will be there. You see, if Jesus had stayed on earth in his human form, you would always wonder, is there going to be flesh in heaven? He's ascended in human form so that you would know he's coming back in human form. And that it is possible that you will live body and soul reunited in heaven. And the Father's house then is a welcoming place for sinners. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. It's reserved in heaven for you. The third benefit is that Christ sends His Spirit as an earnest, a down payment. And it's His power that we seek. And it's through that power that we seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God and not things on the earth. You see, it's the Spirit who comes and convicts us and lifts our eyes and encourages us and exhorts us. I go to prepare a place for you and to prepare you for glory. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 26 and 27, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. You see, these disciples were going to forget what Jesus was telling them. They wouldn't catch all of His hints, as it were. But He says the Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to remind you of all these things that I've said, and you will make the connections. You will be taught. John 16, Jesus makes this even more explicit. Says, but now I go My way to Him that sent Me, because I have said these things unto you, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Do you see these benefits? Are benefits that only come because He has gone and He's paved the way. He's risen, ascended, proving that He's gone to provide these benefits. This is what the psalmist foresaw in Psalm 68 as well, and want to turn there and sing from 183 of these ascension blessings. It's a version of Psalm 68, O Lord, Thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Verse 2, blessed be the Lord who daily our heavy burden bears. Verse 3, sing unto God, ye nations, ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing unto God, all people, and praise His matchless worth because of these blessings that He's preparing His people for. There's one summary advantage, though. One summary benefit, blessing. Jesus tells these anxious disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. Christ descends and He continues there for our interest, until He comes again. You think about Christ's ascension. He has ascended. Not just for a generic group. Not just for a group of people with no identity. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, My disciples. That's such a blessing, because you realize as He's going, He's gone up. His going is proof that their sins are forgiven. Remission of sins is fully granted to those who believe. There should be no trouble left in their hearts. about whether remission can be granted, whether they can be forgiven, even for their own anxieties, because he's gone. He's preparing a place for them. You see, he goes as a heavenly priest to prepare a place for all those who need his priestly work. Everyone who needs his sacrifice says, I'm going as your priest in front of the Father. And I'm going, secondly, to remind your troubled hearts that you will not be left comfortless, because I've told you when I go, I will send the Comforter. And I'm going to go. And yes, they see him go. And what are they to expect? They are to expect the one who comforts. He's preparing for them a most comfortable place. Did you see he goes as the heavenly prophet to prepare a place for all those who desire to be taught of him? Because the Spirit will come and teach. His going, thirdly, demonstrates how the Satan, the evil one, who kept them, yes, bound before, has been conquered. He's going to ascend. He's going to go, conquering death and sin and the devil. There should be no more troubles in your heart about who the conquering hero is. Satan may be loud inside your head, but he's not the winner. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and no one can stop Jesus Christ from ascending and preparing those places. Because his going assures his people that Christ will always defend them. He's exalted over all. He's the King. He's the heavenly King, and he's going into glory to prepare a place for all those who want to serve the King and live as his subjects. And you see, it's Hebrews, the author to the Hebrews, as he's considering this risen and ascended priest and prophet and king, that he says, hold fast then your profession. This afternoon I can come to you and say, Jesus has said, I go to prepare a place for you. Do not waver in your trust of him, in your expectation of him. Do not waver with the vision of faith. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Hold fast your profession. You see, the place of glory is being prepared for all those who believe. But the place of glory is not the only place being prepared. We know that from Matthew 25. Jesus warns them, those judged as unrighteous will hear, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared. But you see, to those following, those disciples, they're not perfect in themselves. They're looking to Christ in faith. The one who's prepared the place will say, come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And Christ says to his disciples in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's not to scare them. It's to encourage them to perseverance and faith and peace, even in times of trouble. Because he's going, and he's going, and it's for believers' good that he goes. The mark, the prize of the high calling of a Christian today, you see, is in heaven. It's the hope of heaven that keeps our souls sure and steadfast. You can't pray aright if you have no hope of heaven. You can't give thanks rightly if you have no hope of heaven. He's gone to prepare a place. It's true, our hope should be submissive. Our longing must be patient. We must be willing to remain here, doing our work that God has given us to do, as long as God has work for us here. But you see, it's with Paul that we look for this place that he's preparing for us. Paul said it's better to depart and be with Christ. That's not always the experience. The disciples were sad because of the gloomy prospect of Christ's departure. They were ashamed because their own hearts demonstrated their selfishness and pride. They're perplexed. They're wavering. But you've heard how Christ said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved him, you would rejoice because he said, I go to the Father. I go to prepare a place for you. Does that bring you to rejoicing tonight? That Christ has ascended and he's promised, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's true, we feel troubled too sometimes. But if you're troubled, if you feel like you don't belong here, Christ says, I'm going to prepare a place for you in glory. You're troubled with no sense of home. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You're troubled with no sense of belonging, no friends. He says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. You're troubled. Lack of stability in this world. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. It's eternal. It'll last forever. You fear the future. Wonder if it's going to include any good. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And don't think then that your sin and your troubles disqualify you. Because Jesus knows your weakness and your sins and your troubles. Disciples of him. And he still says to you, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, fearful one, troubled one. Even if you hesitate because you can't see it, you're called tonight to lift up your eyes and have faith that it's Jesus Christ who is going and he has gone and he is preparing. And these places, these most bountiful places, the many places are being prepared. Most glorious places. Psalm 73, this will be a place of glory. It will be a place where the banner over top of you is love. It will be a generous place. There will be pleasures forevermore. It will be a place of praise to the Lamb who was slain. It would be a place of crowns and righteousness. It would be a gallery of events and people that reveal the mighty and providential hand of God. It would be places of transformed hearts and transformed lives and renewed minds and eternal wonder. It would be a place where you'll see the breadth and the depth and the height, the width of the love of Christ. Be a place that will be filled with the fullness of God. And he says, I'm going to prepare that place for you. There's nothing that can cancel that. There's nothing that can reverse those words. There's no overriding of this. There's no returns. It's not going to be forgotten. It's not, that place is not going to be given to someone else. I'm going to prepare a place for you. No matter your troubles, no matter your anxious hearts. If you are my disciples, this word is a pledge, a guaranteed pledge, that there will be a new home for you, prepared by Christ himself. And it will be secure. And it will be eternal. And you can't think, there's so many of God's children, how can there be one for me? Because he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's dwelling place, there are many abodes. And God's word includes John's vision, which gives us a foretaste of what this will be. Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place. And John sees and writes, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I'm going to prepare that place for you. And there, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He's going to prepare that place for you. And John saw that he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He's gone to prepare that place. He's making that place. And he calls you this week, this month, this year, till we meet again, to look up and hear his promise. He's gone to prepare a place. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, what a glorious moment that will be when eternity opens and the eyes of all those who love thee see thee as thou art. And realize for the first time the beginnings of the full glory that thou hast reserved in heaven for each one of them. Help thy children to hear thy promise. Help those who are still thinking this world is their home to realize there is a greater, a better, a more stable, a more guaranteed, more glorious home. And may we never think this earth can satisfy our desire. May we look to thee and thy word time and time and time again. Please bless thy word as it's gone out today. Forgive the sins of our worship and go with us and our families through this week. We pray for Mrs. Vanderhart as she commemorates her birthday. Lord, thank thee for this other year. We pray that thou would bless her in the days to come. And she too would know thy goodness to her through these years. Lord, please go with us all and our own families, our own needs. And again, we pray that thou would help us to keep the eternal perspective. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.